responsible drinking.
And support for WMNF comes from our members and Live Nation, presenting Nile Rodgers and Chic live in concert at the Duke Energy Center for the Arts, Mahaffey Theater, Friday, January 18th. Get more info at themahaffey.com. And thanks to all who supported our end-of-the-year campaign. Because of you, we went over our goal. Happy New Year from all of us at WMNF. And good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF. This is 88.5 FM Community Radio from West Central Florida. Welcome to Executive Session. Now, this is a forum for discussion of the executive branch of your United States government. I'm John Gilmore, and I host the sessions each weekday, Monday through Thursday, at this time. All viewpoints are welcome. Civility is required as we remain convinced that radio can still be the back fence of the nation, a place for reasonable people to hash out the issues of the day and walk away enriched, even if they still don't agree. And you can join the conversation at 813-239-9663. Mr. Frank Knox will answer your call and get you ready to step in here and have your say. You can reach us by email at dj@wmnf.org or by text at 813-433-0885. And be sure to look for Executive Session on Facebook. If you like and follow the page, you will see the material that we are going to discuss on the session on a daily basis. And also, that's where we post links. So you'll be able to actually go in and look at the material that we're drawing from and make your own conclusions as to veracity. So it is Monday. And so we'll be catching up on the last 4 days, Thursday to Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, I believe it comes out four. The government is still partially closed. Are you affected by the shutdown? Have you noticed anything around you that is either happening or not happening because the because 800,000 federal employees have been basically kind of laid down. So the president has escalated his rhetoric and is threatening to extend the shutdown for, quote, years if he doesn't get his way. And his way is you and I will pay for, well, not a concrete wall. No, not a big, beautiful concrete wall, but a steel fence. And he's threatening to declare a national emergency to force the funding he wants. So, first off, is there a national emergency? Now, what is a national emergency? I maintain that Pearl Harbor was a national emergency. I maintain that 9/11 was a national emergency. I could see that. And that resources are mobilized and things are reallocated to take care of an emergency. Is there a national emergency? And if there is, what is it? And will a wall between us and Mexico fix it? So it has been an eventful few days, and if you have something that's caught your attention, you are certainly welcome to bring it to the session this afternoon. Like I said, you can join us on the air with your comments at 813-239-9663. And by the way, if you are a listener who has been with us in session for a while, or if you are just joining us for the first time, and you're listening and you hear the comments and you hear the opinions and you notice that you have a comment or an opinion that has not been voiced, and you've never called, you've never been on the air, you've never called into the session to make your viewpoint heard, if you find yourself in that situation, pick up your device and tap out 813-239-9663 and let Frank know that you are calling for the first time, that you are somebody who has just joined the session, and we'll pick you up right quick and get you in here. And right now, what we're going to do is we're going to play just a little bit of an interview the White House press secretary did on Fox News with Chris Wallace. I believe it was yesterday. So here we go.
The president talks about terrorists potentially coming across the border. And here is Secretary of Homeland Security Nielsen. Take a look.
CBP has stopped over 3,000 what we call special interest aliens trying to come into the country on the southern border. Those are aliens who the intel community has identified are of concern.
But special interest aliens are just people who come from countries that have ever produced a terrorist. They're not terrorists themselves. And the State Department says that there is, quote, their words, no credible evidence of any terrorists coming across the border from Mexico.
We know that roughly nearly 4,000 known or suspected terrorists come into our country illegally. And we know that our most vulnerable point of entry is at our southern border.
Because I know this statistic. I didn't know if you were going to use it, but I studied up on this. Do you know where those 4,000 people come or where they're captured? Airports.
Not always, but certainly a large number.
The State Department says there hasn't been any terrorists that they found coming across the southern border.
It's by air, it's by land, and it's by sea. It's all of the above. But one thing that you're forgetting is that the most vulnerable point of entry that we have into this country is our southern border, and we have to protect it. And the more and more that individuals...
They're not coming across the southern border, Sarah. They're coming and they're being stopped at airports.
They're coming in a number of ways. They're certainly... I'm not disagreeing with you that they're coming through airports. I'm saying that they come by air, by land, and by sea. And the more and more that our border becomes vulnerable and less that we spend time and money protecting it, the more that we're going to have an influx, not just of terrorists, but of human traffickers, drug inflow, and people that are coming here to do American citizens harm.
813-239-9663. What do you think? Are we being overwhelmed by terrorists rushing across the southern border? Are we in an existential crisis for the United States of America? Is this a national emergency?
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played
songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days. And you knew when you were there.
Dance for girls and men, women. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Need no welfare state.
Everybody pulled his weight.
And we've been gabbled into session here on a Monday afternoon, early in January. The president has shut down large parts of the federal government and is basically dug in, saying that unless he gets a certain amount of money for his physical wall across the southern border, that he might keep the government closed for years, months or years, I believe was the presentation, and that he could consider, he's actually considering declaring a national emergency, and that apparently gives him the authority, if it's accepted, gives him the authority to divert funding and resources from other places. So it's a way for him to essentially bypass the revenue process that starts in the House of Representatives, so recently taken over by the Democratic Party. And we're going to go and talk to, is it Aranel in Land O'Lakes?
Hi.
Hi, you are in executive session and you have the floor. Good afternoon.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I think this is all a distraction for some more strange governance by Trump.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question before you go any farther.
Okay.
You see it as a distraction, and there certainly seems to be. It's pretty clear that it could be very distracting. What do you think they're distracting from?
Well, they're distracting from actually implementing regulations that have been legislated by Congress, the will of the people in many instances. It's a way that he is going to downsize government. He already said that he does not mind, you know, it going for years, this shutdown.
Yeah.
Well, when it comes to federal employees, they fall under two categories. I being a former federal employee. Anything less than 30 days is considered adverse action if they don't get, reinstated. But if it's more than 30 days, then the regulations are reduction in force procedures. And there's nothing to prevent an agency head to declare reorganization.
Wow, so, this starts to get complicated quickly, doesn't it?
It gets complicated very quickly. And so, you know, he says, well, most of these employees are Democrats. Well, what's to prevent him from having the agency's heads go and find out how you registered? And if you registered as a Democrat, you would be singled out.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you something. I worked out on the checkpoints at the airport, and I am one of those guys who at this point would be out there working without pay. And I can tell you for a fact that in the workforce I was a part of, we were not what I would call majority Democrat. Okay, so the notion that all these people that are being furloughed are Democrats is simply incorrect. At least as far as the TSA is concerned.
Well, the TSA, law enforcement, ATF, customs, you know, they're mostly Republicans. I worked for those agencies.
Yeah.
So, you know, and yes, we were national security positions and weren't therefore furloughed like a lot of others. But I tell you, this is not good. This is very, very bad.
Well, it does not make sense to me if what you're negotiating for is something that has to do with national security. It doesn't make sense to cripple the Department of Homeland Security.
Well, that TSA.
Exactly. Well, see, that's the Coast Guard is in the DHS. TSA is in DHS.
Right.
So there's in other words, they're disabling the agency that's in charge of what they're trying to negotiate for.
So it's just hypocrisy.
Yeah.
It's clear hypocrisy.
Well, I don't get it, and I got to tell you that the basic impression that I have is that Donald Trump said some stuff about a wall out on the campaign trail, and it got a lot of applause, and it caught on as a thing.
Yes,
you know, it's a thing, and now he has got himself talked into something where if he doesn't do the thing, he's in trouble with those folks he was talking to.
Well, and they're such a minority.
Yeah.
They are such a minority in the whole population.
Well, we shall see. We shall see, because we are going to come up on the, now we just passed the midterms, and I think there was a fairly substantial statement made out there in the country in the midterms, and we shall see whether that level of activism and engagement continues through the 2020.
But where is the enforcement chief? Where can Congress, you know, impeach president, but McConnell? You know, how about indicting Ryan? You know, the things he has done.
Ryan is a gone guy. He walked out the back door, and he's going to be, you know, he's going to be gone. Mitch McConnell presides over a majority Republican Senate, and they are busily stacking the federal court system with what they call conservative justice.
They already have.
Yes. And they continue.
And if you don't think that's a soft coup,
I think it is the foundation for exactly what you just described.
Exactly.
Because where all of those civil rights measures and voting rights measures go and immigration rights measures go and women's health measures go, all that stuff ends up in the court. And they're in the process of basically repopulating the courts. Listen, I am glad that you called. It's good to hear from you, and I hope that we get to talk again.
All right. Same here. Thank you.
Sure enough. And you can reach us at 813-239-9663 here in executive session on WMNF 88.5 FM, especially inviting you, if you have never called in, to give us a shout. If you have a viewpoint you haven't heard out here, and you can reach your device, why, go ahead and pick that thing up and put 813-239-9663 on it. And we were going to talk to Terry in Tampa. Terry, good afternoon. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Good afternoon.
Hey.
I hear a lot of talk about this, and Tricky Trump has put it on the American people like this here. Somebody else was supposed to pay for something that we're supposed to get that we didn't really need. And we're getting paid, double for it. And, the very people that support the foundation of this country, the federal workers, are getting, first of all, decimated by this. I used to work for the federal government. I went through a short shutdown, but I cannot imagine not having after a month a paycheck coming in.
Yeah, what would your life have been like? What would the impact have been if you were out there working on day to day, and you didn't get paid?
Bruh, you can't buy food. You can't pay for your electricity. You can't even pay for your water bill. And all those bills come
right
in, and they're not going to stop. You can call and you can ask for extensions. And unfortunately, at this day and time, you talk to robots that don't want to give you an extension.
And the president has said that y'all need to adjust. Y'all need to adjust now.
We do. We the American, I'm going to agree with you on that point, and with him too, and move it like this here. We the American people need to adjust and get out and let him know that we don't care about no daggone wall, and the wall seems like it's to keep us in versus letting somebody into this place, and so he can declare martial law.
We've had some folks who've pointed that out, Terry, that this wall thing has two sides.
That's right.
Yeah.
He wants to declare martial war. What do we get when he declares martial law? And when I say martial war, that's what I mean. He's attacking the American people, and the things that he's doing, I was trying to give him a little bit of leeway, but, he's folded on Syria. He didn't go help Ukraine when the Russians went into the Black Sea. He's letting the Russians have bombers over in Venezuela. And the people that are still supporting him, I just cannot, for the life of me, figure out why. Then they want to build a wall to keep us in so that we get stuck in this madness. I got my passport. What about the rest of y'all?
I'm going to tell you something, Terry. We were out just about a month ago. We were out there making the rounds, going out and getting our passports. And I have, I am in my early 70s, and I have never had a passport in my life until now. Now I got one.
Well, I ask the people that's out there listening to think about it. If they start closing the borders, can you leave? Do you have a passport?
Yeah. So far I have not been alarmed at the notion that they might actually try to trap us inside the country. I haven't, that one hasn't come up, but I got to tell you, this whole boondoggle that they want to put down on the southern border, is basically a monument, and it's kind of like the president wants to erect a monument to his campaign.
He doesn't care about the wall. What he's using that is to usurp power. He's already saying he wants to gather all the power unto himself. He wants to be the dictator of America. And this seems to be a little issue that he can put, and it's so ridiculously minuscule that the people of America would stand for this. They're telling us that some people are coming across the border to get us, and they haven't got here yet. They're still coming in. You know, it's just a ridiculous fear tactic.
I know. I agree. The notion that we could be existentially endangered by a few thousand people on foot coming across the southern border is absurd in my estimation.
With all our guns and availability of guns, and we can run over them with cars or baseball bats or get knives. It's just so ridiculous to think that there will be a little small force that could get America.
Yeah.
And I think it started off with that terrorist term. The terrorist is taking root in some people's mind as something that they can't defend against. But you can.
Well, I'll tell you what you're talking about is a group of people smaller than the crew of the USS Ronald Reagan. Except that the people that we're talking about are on foot and don't have weapons. So that's who we think we're in danger of being overrun by.
But you have to know about Texas, a group, even an armed group trying to run up into Texas from Mexico or from the water or wherever else is going to be met with very strong resistance.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I wouldn't want to try that.
Right. So if you don't know about Texas, you might think it's a weak border, but it's really not.
No, I don't think it is. Listen, Terry, thanks. It's been good to talk to you, and we'll talk again.
One last thing.
Go ahead, go.
Vote for Spaz for mayor, because I think he's going to be a better alternative. You have a good day.
Okay, thanks. 813-239-9663. And get you in contact, Mr. Frank Knox. We'll answer your call, get you ready to step in here on a Monday afternoon and have your say. And we are especially inviting you if you have not called before. And we are right this second going to go and talk to Michael in Tampa. Good afternoon, Michael in Tampa. You are in executive session, and you have the floor. Very, very quiet. Very quiet. Michael, are you there? Well, I got to tell you that raises passivity to a whole new level, and appreciate it. And maybe we'll get a chance to talk to Michael one of these days. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We are going to take a little tiny break and going to do a little bit of business here, and we'll be right back. Support for WMNF comes from our members and Alert Today Florida, dedicated to safeguarding bicyclists and pedestrians in Tampa Bay and throughout the state. Alert Today Florida is a statewide grassroots effort to increase the safety of those who bike and walk. A little details at alerttodayflorida.com. And WMNF has a big concert coming February 1st with two of our favorite bands, Drive-By Truckers and Lucinda Williams. The concert at Janus Live is already selling fast. You can get tickets and information at WMNF.org events. And back to the conversation. We have been talking a lot about this wall. I know it's a huge, shiny object, and we a lot of times get diverted by the shiny objects. And we're going to go ahead and do that deliberately today, because the president has been making some very odd noises about this, saying that he's willing to have the government shut down for months or years, and that he is considering at some point in the next few days, declaring a national emergency at the southern border in order to divert funds from possibly the military and actually engage the military in the construction of the border wall. So what do you think? 813-239-9663. Daryl, good afternoon. You're in executive session, and you have the floor this afternoon.
Hey, John, how you doing?
So far, not bad. It's Monday, but I think I'll get over it.
Yep. Well, outside of what should I talk about? The musings of Baghdad Sarah? yeah, it's real funny. Now they're manufacturing their own lies.
Uh-huh.
But,
Well, she's been... Listen, the president says something.
Mm-hmm. And
we all know that the utterances from the president have no necessary tether to any shared reality at all.
Oh, reality. I got a picture of the Twilight Zone in my mind now, the Outer Limits.
And then Sarah Sanders goes up in front of the press corps and repeats them.
Mm, right.
So,
right.
Anyway, go ahead.
Let me see if I can say this, and... I know some of you out there, I just give you joy every time you hear my voice. So let me just go ahead and say this. John,
yeah.
Now you were in the Coast Guard.
I was.
Let me use an analogy here about the Great Wall of America that possibly he wants to build. And by the way, there are a lot of, if he tries to do what he's talking about he wants to do, he's overreaching his mandate, constitutionally mandated powers given to him. This is not a dictatorship, but let me say this.
Mm.
Now, John, you were in the Coast Guard.
Mm-hmm.
There is a reason, folks, as my time is running out, why we don't build battleships like we built during World War II, like the USS Missouri and Iowa,
mm-hmm.
and the Alabama. You know why we don't do that anymore? Even though those ships caused great devastation to Iwo Jima, and to Guadalcanal, and to Okinawa, I believe. You know why we don't do that anymore? Even though they cause great devastation.
Say why.
Why do you think we don't do that anymore, build those type dreadnoughts?
I think it's probably very highly likely that technology has moved on and that particular kind of battle platform is no longer optimal.
Technology.
Did I say the right word?
And you can have a missile cruiser, which, by the way, if you could take one of our missile cruisers and somehow take it back into time, and they were getting ready to storm the beaches of one of those islands, do you know that there's more firepower on one of those missile cruisers than whatever a battleship could even level, and it could be even more accurate and even get down into those tunnels where the Japanese were buried under right now?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the specifics, but I know that we have precision guided munitions that can stuff high explosives in your kitchen window.
Oh yeah, guys, a wall is ridiculous, and even Miss Baghdad Sarah even had to admit to Chris Wallace, which I still wish he would leave that network and stop giving them some kind of legitimacy, but. Even had to admit that they're coming in on planes if they are coming,
mm-hmm.
and most of them are here if they are radicalized and they are here.
The people that did 9/11 didn't come across the Mexican border.
Right, so a wall would not have stopped them, and I know in some places where they came over here and got flight training and stuff like that, but my time is quickly diminished.
Yeah, yeah.
What I wanted to say was... That's obsolete technology.
Yeah.
To try to build a wall, okay, to accomplish what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
It does not make sense. So it's like throwing good money after bad. He's very good at doing that because it's not his money. Okay.
So really, hey, listen, the best gig in the world is to play with OPM, right. Man.
And as I go, let me just say this. I am thoroughly enjoying this because after this is all said and done, I hope you guys get a belly full of these Republicans and Tea Party people because the way he's acting is just like the Tea Party. If we can't get the legislation passed that we want, if we can't get the government to act the way that we do, we'll just shut it down. We'll just shut it down. And for all of those people who are not going to be able to pay, okay, call the gas company and you call your local power company. I'm not going to mention their names because I don't want WMNF to get in trouble. And when they call, and when the collectors call, just say, lock her up.
I thought it was maybe. I thought maybe we'd give them the White House phone number.
Oh no, you can't do that because the government is shut down. Remember, so they're not responding. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye, Darryl. Thanks a lot. All right, 813-239-9663 here on a gorgeous, if somewhat humid, Monday afternoon, early in January of 2019, as we come back from the holidays and begin to pick up our conversation here on this very important executive branch of our government. Because that's what we do here in executive session. We are a conversation for watching, listening, talking about the executive branch of the United States government. And so you can join us at 813-239-9663. And right now we are going to go and talk to Jen in Clearwater. Jen, good afternoon. You're in executive session on WMNF. I see. Well, that was a mic drop. And ordinarily, people say something before they drop the mic, but it isn't necessary. You know, if it suits your purpose, we're going to go and talk to Lee in Spring Hill. Good afternoon, Lee in Spring Hill. You are in executive session this afternoon.
Hey, John, you worked for TSA.
I did.
So how long would you show up for work and not get paid?
Well, I'll tell you what, that is one tough question, sir, because we were out there. See, I was out there starting in 2002, I think it was. There were a lot of people who were out there simply on dedication. It wasn't about anything except we had an opportunity to be trained to protect people in our country. So we did that. And I don't know. You know, that's really tough because it's a balance between your sense of dedication and the oath that you took, because we took that oath, you know, and the need to feed your family and keep the lights on at your house.
Well, I worked for the post office for 38 years. I'm going to tell you, after 2 weeks, I'd be calling in and I'd be going to Manpower. Because you know who they replaced me with? Somebody from Manpower. I can get paid.
Yeah. Well, see, there are a lot of people, from what I understand, there are a lot of people across the TSA who are calling out. And I don't know what their work regulations are now. I don't know. I've been away from the structure for so very long that I would not even try to guess. But I know that I have seen pictures that are supposedly representing the extensive crowds and backups at the checkpoints in airports, because people in TSA are going, we're not going in there if we're not going to get paid. We're not doing that for nothing.
Yeah. Now, the other thing is 9/11, most of them were Saudi. Have we got a ban on Saudis coming to America?
I didn't notice that we did, no.
Look, the last time I saw it, Donald Trump was protecting that prince whose name I cannot pronounce.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, hey, if you got a couple billion, he loves you.
That color seems to be mood altering for him. It does.
Well, that's all I got. You have a nice day now.
All right, thanks, Lee. We'll talk again.
All right.
Bye. Sure enough. 813-239-9663, inviting you, especially if you are wandering around out there and you have been listening, you've got a viewpoint, an opinion, a comment, a question, and you haven't heard it addressed here on the air, call 813-239-9663. Let Frank know that you're calling in as a first-time caller, and we'll get you right on the air. And right now, we're going to go and talk to Susan in Anna Maria. Good afternoon, Susan. You're an executive session on WMNF.
Yeah, hi, John. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
I'm fighting laryngitis, so I'm going to get through this. when we look at national security, what we overlook, and it really sticks to my craw, I've been in the aviation industry for 20 years. They don't look at containers when they come in.
Yeah.
Now, you know, that really, really bothers me.
Yeah.
Because these people coming over the border, Guatemala, Honduras, and everything else, they don't have anything. Like, they don't have rocket launchers, or they don't, you know, they're just seeking asylum.
Mm-hmm.
And the terrorists will come in through air or through putting things in containers. And with the TSA, you know, it's a crack in our national security.
How's that?
You know, Donald Trump. I mean, it's a crack in our national security because he's not paying TSA.
Oh, yeah.
Calling in sick and, you know, plus the containers. Why don't we, you know, have a task force to do that? And that's where it's going to come in. Plus, you know, everybody knows about this, that we're vulnerable because we have a lot of our agencies that aren't being paid. And that it's right for terrorists. Terrorists don't come in, you know, they're not coming over the border. They're just not. And it's, this whole wall is absurd. And especially in the 21st century, we and Daryl mentioned, oh, technology.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do drones. There's many different things. Because you look at a wall, what are you going to do? If you got a shovel or a ladder, you're good to go.
Yeah, see, that's what the thing about walls, the thing that got my attention about walls is the guys, El Chapo's guys, you know, that was in the prison.
Yeah.
They tunneled 7/10 of a mile, Susan, and they did it with such accuracy that they came up in the shower in his cell. That you know, yeah. Which is, I don't know. I as you can probably tell, that still amazes me.
Me too, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. But you know,
and that, and by the way, that was, they tunneled into a maximum security prison.
Right. How'd that work out?
Well. He got out. That's
right, exactly. It's so primitive. And, you know, Donald Trump doesn't have to worry about that. I mean, we have to fly, you know, well, I just retired, but, you know, people have to fly. And it's scary because Donald Trump picks up the phone or his assistant picks up the phone and he's got his, you know, well, now he has their Air Force One, but he goes privately. It's all about him. And he's so detached.
Mm.
So detached from the rest of us, and people not getting paychecks is absolutely ridiculous. And I, you know, I have to say, I don't really blame the TSA or anybody because actions speak louder than words.
Mm.
Once the general public, it gets so fed up with it, you know, things, once they hit you or they're in your own backyard, then you react. If they don't hit you, you know, you're kind of oblivious.
I gotta tell you that with a significant part of the national security apparatus impacted by this, if there is an attack and it happens because our national security apparatus is working with one hand tied behind its back and a blindfold on, that's going to make Donald Trump's shutdown very, very heavy for him.
Absolutely.
So I hope that does not happen. I hope that we make it all the way through this and out the other side and manage to keep ourselves safe and sane somehow, or at least safe. I don't know that the sane boat hasn't already sailed, but, you know, I hope that we make it through here without any grievous consequences.
Right, exactly. Any incident.
Yeah.
You know, because that, you know, that is people's lives, and like I said, he's so detached, and we you know, there's lots of national security that we don't pay attention to that's very important. I mean, totally important, life or death. And so that's my pet peeve, is the aviation industry, because and the containers.
Yeah.
Containers coming in. I mean, you could put, you know, they're talking about people walking over the border with smallpox and all this stuff, which is such propaganda. But you could put something in a container and, you know, it just disperses all over.
Yeah.
It's very dangerous and.
Yeah, I think that you have isolated something that's very vulnerable because containers do pour into this country by the thousands every day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Susan. Listen, it's been good to talk with you. I am glad to have you on the line here. Welcome to WMNF and welcome to executive session, and we'll talk again.
Great. Happy New Year, Tom.
Happy New Year to you. 813-239-9663. Very, very quickly out and back. Randy and Doreen, Brooke and Joe, we see you on the line. They'll be right back to you. There is a line if you want to come in here. Now's a good time. Support for WMNF News comes from our members and UF Online, providing education to qualified students regardless of their location. Online students earn the same degree as their on-campus counterparts. UF believes it's time to expect more from an online education. UF Online students don't just log in, they connect. And support for WMNF comes from our members in Happy Feet Plus, for those having foot, leg, knee, and back pain. Happy Feet Plus offers footwear solutions fashioned to make your feet happy and is a full-service shoe store, including a complimentary foot scan analysis at their 10 Bay Area locations. And we are back to the conversation. Crank it up here on a Monday afternoon following New Year's. This is our initial session here for the year on a Monday. So we're kind of catching up. We've been away for a few days. There's, as always, been a whole lot going on. And if there is something on your mind that we haven't mentioned, you are certainly welcome to bring it into the session. Randy in Arcadia, good afternoon. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
All right, John. Listen, I got an idea, and probably foolish, but if it'll work. How about if Mr. Trump, and I use that very sarcastically, if he wants this wall so built so bad, why doesn't he resign? I hope. And he can build this wall himself, spend his billions and billions of dollars, and then we in the government can pay him back.
So he can do initial outlay on the construction, and then we can kind of take a mortgage out on the wall and pay him back.
Sure, why not? Then if we get another problem where the government shuts down again, maybe his monthly payment or yearly payment would be null and void, and we'll see how fast he starts screaming then.
You know what? I read very, very briefly this morning. I saw a headline, and the link to this article is in the comment section under the executive session Facebook post for today. And that is that apparently significant numbers of people within the Trump administration are getting a raise during the shutdown. Yeah, it takes a while to let that in, doesn't it?
I wish the heck I would get a raise. I'm retired now after 27 years with the Postal Service.
Uh-huh.
And I would like to get a raise.
Yeah. I actually got a raise. I totaled it up, and I think that my raise for this year in one domain comes out to about $84.
Oh, okay.
A year now, that's a year.
Yeah. That's a whole $7 a month, huh?
Yeah, it was seven. It might be as high as 90, but somewhere between $7 and $8. So you definitely are a carpenter.
Well, I got a COLA raise. I think it was 2%.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And, it's okay. But. This idea of this wall is so ludicrous. It's unreal.
Well, the thing. So look. First off, we can't build a 2,000-mile wall. It's not going to happen.
So the
fact of the matter is there's going to be parts. There's going to be a wall here and not a wall there. And the places where there's supposed to be a wall supposedly is where they need to stop people. But I. It's like Dillinger, they asked him why he robs banks, and he said that's where the money is.
Yeah.
And so, why did you cross the border in the mountains? Well, that's where the wall ain't.
Yep.
See? So I don't understand how the whole thing's going to work. I also don't understand how we're going to build a wall on the sections of the border that are comprised by the Rio Grande River.
Well, I'm sure he's thought of that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we can use a pontoon, like we did during World War II with portable docks.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that either we have to build it on our side of the river and give up half the river to Mexico, or we have to get permission from Mexico to build the wall on the other side of the river and they give up their half of the river, or we have to try and build a wall down the middle of a river.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen.
So, and I mean, I don't doubt that the technology's there to do it. I just don't, I just don't see it.
Well, like you said before, earlier about old Del Chapo, about digging, digging a tunnel. Hey, I mean, get a couple of tunnel rats out there and they could probably figure out how to build a 2,000-mile tunnel where nobody would even know they're there.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you now, and maybe this is rudimentary, and I just don't know about it. But when you can do 0.7 mile underground with accuracy sufficient to literally come up in a shower stall, that is some high class work, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, really. With the laser technology they have today. And with building tunnels across rivers and underground and all that, the only way that you could possibly even stop them from doing that would be to set sensors and probes who's gonna man all these? Where are you gonna get the Border Patrol agents?
Well, see, now that's a part of that could be a part of the system. Randy, listen, thanks. It's good to hear from you down there in Arcadia, and with any luck, we will hear from you from down there in Arcadia again.
Count on it, John. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. We will talk again. 813-239-9663 as we tiptoe slowly up to the threshold of the lightning round. Listen, here's a science fiction notion for you. Across the world, we have been using unmanned aerial vehicles. And we have unmanned aerial vehicles that can orbit basically over spots. We can direct them. They can fly in patterns. They have infrared. They are infrared cameras. They can spot. Now, what a boon would it be to our aerospace industry, Lockheed and Lockheed Martin and Boeing and those folks, for us to build a fleet of unmanned aerial vehicles to patrol the border. We have thousands of pilots who have been trained by the military, and what have they been trained to do? Spot people. That's what they do. We have infrared cameras. We, as a part of the system, can design Border Patrol posts in such a way that the personnel can reach any place, in between the post in a certain amount of time. And also, you got to keep in mind, this is like being spotted by a helicopter. Once you've been spotted, you're not going to get away from it. So, you know, and these people are on foot, and the Border Patrol is in vehicles. So, you try to cross at night, the drone spots you, and we dispatch a vehicle, and the drone keeps an eye on you for a little while until somebody comes over and says hello. And that way we can cover the entire border, and, we don't have to build, and it's flexible. It's flexible. You can concentrate in certain areas if you need to. If there's something going on someplace, you can break off a couple of extra drones and put them over there, or, you know, something that you can't do with a wall. Walls are inflexible, static. Once you put it there, that's the end of it. It's there, and whatever measures can be taken to defeat it, it just gets to stand there. And, while the attempt is made. And, Brooke, in Ridge Manor, good afternoon. You are in executive session.
Well, hi there. I'm a first-time caller.
Well, welcome aboard, Brooke. It's good to hear from you.
I just wanted to cover 2 points, essentially. I'm just surrounded by conservatives, and some of them are very good friends, and we just can only talk about the weather, except we might get into climate change, so we can hardly talk even about that. But I guess the first point I just would like to make is that I hold everyone responsible for the idiot in the White House who voted for him, who refused to vote for Hillary, or who refused to vote at all. They're all equally, individually, and collectively responsible for this idiot and the idiocy that is going on between him and his minions. And Randy kind of took a little bit of the wind out of my sails, because my second point was, if this nut really wants his wall, I think that's what a fifth century.
Yeah, you know, the history of defensive walls stretches back at least as far as the Sumerians.
Absolutely.
Now, I don't even know when that was, but it sounds good.
if he wants this wall so bad, yeah, he's filthy rich. He promised that Mexicans would pay for it.
Americans, yes, he did.
Not going to pay for it, and Americans should not pay for it. Let him build his own damn wall. He's perfectly capable of doing that.
He doesn't have the money to do it. He just doesn't. Yeah. I think his the latest estimate of his net worth that I saw was something like $3.8 billion. Now, that is a fairly good down payment on what it costs to build what he's talking about.
Well, then he can just build what he's able to, because he's not going to keep anybody out anyway. And I do disagree with Randy that we should pay him back not one red cent.
Okay, so he should build his own memorial, and it should be fine.
Yep, the wall of Trump, and it can become a tourist attraction down there. And
I look at the people that visit the Great Wall of China, for crying out loud. People come halfway around the world to walk on that wall.
And they're walking across the top of it.
Yeah.
And that's all I wanted to say, but I'm so glad to get to talk with you, and I hope I get to talk with you again.
Well, I do, too, and thanks for calling, and welcome aboard. Welcome to the session.
Thank you.
And 813-239-9663. We will talk to Joe in St. Petersburg. Good afternoon, Joe in St. Petersburg.
Well, just a couple of things. I wanted to mention how defensive all of Trump's people sound. A couple of days ago, they were interviewing Nancy Pelosi, and they asked her, they said, "Will you not give him $1? And he said, "Oh, give him a dollar."
Yeah, give him a dollar.
These stupid people. I mean, I'm sorry. I know you want stability. But then these people, like the chief of staff, for goodness sake, gets on it, and other people in his administration say, "I can't negotiate with a person who only wants to give us a dollar."
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, it's tough if you're looking for $25 billion and the only thing you can get is a dollar. That's a really tough place to start.
You know, they use that as a talking point, which is ridiculous. And the other talking point that sounds so ridiculous to me is him saying that he can relate.
Yeah, he's a, that whole thing about him being, this is a guy who was making six figures before he had a two-digit, before his age was in two digits. Right.
Yeah, which he was never a tenant. He was always a landlord. So
yeah.
He never liked to pay rent.
All right, Joe, we have got to step away. The clock is ticking and we are out of here. Thank you very much for calling. We'll talk again. Michael and Kevin and Mark, we're not going to get to talk to you today. Stay with us for It's the Music. Jaya Rose is going to be in for Flea and she is going to take you through the afternoon and hand you gently off to the traffic jam this afternoon, who's going to get you home on your Monday. And in the meantime,
it has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
This has been Executive Session on WMNF Tampa.